Welcome, everybody. This is David B. Wright, the National Director of 40 Days for Life. I am blessed to serve as the moderator for this Ending Abortion webcast mega event. You are in the right place at the right time to learn how you can save more lives right where you live. Let's make this the time that defines the beginning of the end of abortion. I am calling in today from just outside of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. As mentioned, my name is David B. Wright. During this session, we're going to have a co-host who will be helping to walk us through this session on Planned Parenthood's abortion empire, and his name is Sean Carney. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing great, David. We're in for a long day.
Oh, it's already a fifth of the way over, and it is just flying by. We are having a lot of great information that is coming out. And for those who are joining us by webcast, if this is your first panel, you're going to need to go back and listen to the recordings of panels 1 and 2 on the case for life and the abortion crisis. Sean works with me in 40 Days for Life. I'm blessed to have him as a co-host on this session. Let me tell you what it is we're trying to do during this Ending Abortion event today. This webcast was put together because, frankly, enough is enough. 52 million dead children, millions of wounded women, families torn apart, and the abortion industry feeling emboldened by getting their good friends elected to the highest offices in our land are trying to systematically impose the abortion agenda everywhere they possibly can, and you and I are expected to foot the bill through our tax dollars. There is a seething out there. There is a mobilization of the pro-life movement like I have not seen in my years of being involved in this work as I travel all across the country. I am seeing record numbers of people getting involved in this movement, and many of them are wanting to find out, what can I do to be a part of the solution? I'm tired of sitting back and just waiting on the politicians to fix the problem for us. What can I do? That was the purpose of this event, was to walk you through the entirety of the pro-life movement, to educate you, to equip you, and empower you to be able to save lives where you live. So with that, let's start this session the way we could start everything we do in pro-life work most effectively, and that is with a word of opening prayer. And Sean Carney, will you guide us through an opening prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you in the pro-life movement. We ask grace upon our speakers. May they strike the hearts of all who listen to this live and listen to the recording. We pray for an end to abortion in our nation. We pray for an end to Planned Parenthood and for all those who work in the abortion industry who have sold and sell so many lies to women and create fear in women that has led to so many abortions. Give us courage, give us strength, and keep us humble so that we depend on you to end this great injustice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Sean. And for those who are listening by webcast, these recordings will be made available afterwards. So if you can't sit through all 10 hours of dynamic content today, you'll just be too excited by the end and ready to go out and take on the world, then you can certainly go back and listen to any of these sessions after the fact. You can download them to your computer, iPod, burn a CD, whatever you want to do. The other thing I'm going to ask you is, if you are blessed by this event, we know that polling is showing that the majority of Americans are pro-life. The majority of Americans believe like you and I, and as a result of that, we need to make sure that all of them have that same opportunity that we have to be able to be a part of finding out the solution and how they can save lives right where they live. Tell everybody you know to go to endingabortion.com. They can listen to all the recordings. So tell everybody you know to go to endingabortion.com. So we're going to be going through this topic specifically on Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood's abortion empire. And to get us started in just a moment, I'm going to ask Sean Carney to give us a quick statement or two about why is this topic such an important one, and then we'll be diving into the content about specifically Planned Parenthood and its abortion empire. You're going to be hearing in this topic from Jim Sedlak from American Life League and Stop International, Lila Rose from Live Action, Mark Crutcher from Life Dynamics, and Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood director. Sean, why is this topic of Planned Parenthood so important?
Well, we really have to focus on Planned Parenthood because they're the largest abortion chain in America. And according to their own numbers, they do 180 abortions for every one adoption referral. And they do so with over $300 million of our tax money. And so a lot of people don't know a whole lot about Planned Parenthood, how they operate, how they function. And we're going to try to explain that today, and I can't think of four better people to help explain to this audience, some who are hearing the pro-life message for the first time, that not only does Planned Parenthood do more abortions than any other organization, but they construct the mentality and the fear that leads so many women into having an abortion in our nation. And so this will be a very, very important topic, and we have four experts here to carry us along.
And we certainly can't cover every aspect of Planned Parenthood in a one-hour topic when there have been entire training courses put together and books written on Planned Parenthood. We're going to cover the basic 101 fundamentals here, but we are also going to ask each of the speakers to share with you where you can get resources and learn more specifically about Planned Parenthood and what you can do to stop Planned Parenthood. Also, a lot of you have submitted questions. We had lots of questions on the topic of Planned Parenthood. We could spend days answering those questions. What we tried to do is pick out the frequently asked themes and embed those into the questions we'll be asking of our presenters. And who knows, maybe later we'll do some more in-depth training with the remainder of the questions that have come in. So with that, let's go to our first presenter. And our first presenter is Jim Sedlak. Jim is a very, very good friend of mine. He lives not very far away from me. He is the most credible expert I have ever heard on the topic of Planned Parenthood. Jim serves as the Vice President of American Life League, Executive Director of Stop International, and one of the leading experts on Planned Parenthood and what to do to stop the organization. Jim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, David, and I thank you for putting all of this together.
Well, you bet. And how about to give everybody a little background so they know who it is they're hearing from? Share with us how you got involved in the pro-life movement and specifically fighting against Planned Parenthood.
Well, my background is one of a scientist. My college degree is in physics, and I worked as a research physicist for IBM. And in 1979, I read a book called The Tiniest Humans, and it was a book written by Dr. Lejeune and Professor Lilly, who had pioneered blood transfusions in utero for Rh factor babies. And the book was about their patients, who were the babies in the womb. And having read that book and just painted a compelling picture of the humanity of the preborn child, the fact that we're dealing with persons in the womb, that's what brought me into the pro-life movement.
Mm. Okay, so Planned Parenthood, let's focus specifically on them. They are the largest abortion chain, and they do a lot of other things that are just absolutely awful. Why don't you give us a bit of background? Assume that somebody doesn't know anything about the history of Planned Parenthood and its founder. Get them up to speed about what this organization's history is like.
Well, Planned Parenthood was officially founded in 1916 by a woman named Margaret Sanger. Planned Parenthood dates its beginnings to when Margaret Sanger opened a clinic in Brooklyn, New York on October the 16th, 1916. Sanger brought with her to Planned Parenthood three basic philosophies that still operate in the organization today. Her first philosophy was one of uninhibited sexual activity. She believed that anybody should be able to engage in sex with anyone they wanted, whenever they wanted, regardless of whether or not they were married to that person. Planned Parenthood today continues to push that agenda. Margaret Sanger's second philosophy was that of small families. She was, in fact, the fifth child in a family of 11 children, but she grew up hating large families and fought all of her life for small families. She considered a large family anything more than two children, but she had a real problem because she wanted to have lots and lots of sex and no children. And her answer to that was birth control. And she became a champion of birth control and really pushed the idea of sex and birth control. Havelock Ellis once wrote that when the history of the 20th century was written, it would be a sexual history and Margaret Sanger would be its heroine. And that's how it turned out now that we're looking back at the 20th century. Sanger, when she talked about birth control, was not only preaching about contraception as we know it today, but also preaching about abortion. In her first pamphlet, Family Limitation, which she wrote actually in 1915, she listed abortion as a method of birth control. And then her third philosophy was that of eugenics, the purification of the race through selective breeding. And I know that Mark is going to talk a lot later about Margaret Sanger and her tie-in to eugenics, so I'm not going to spend any time on that. But here, Margaret Sanger started in 1916. At the time she started, contraception was illegal in the United States. It was condemned by every major church denomination, and you cannot even send sex information through the United States mail. So she had a major job ahead of her, and she set about to change the world and make it into a sexual world, and that is what she accomplished. And she accomplished it by establishing goals and working on those goals until the success that she wanted came.
Mm. So she really set the stage. Margaret Sanger's philosophies are still at play in Planned Parenthood today. Jim, let's try to keep this concise, but fast forward to today, from that beginning in 1916 to today, what does Planned Parenthood's entire empire entail today, and what kind of harm is this organization doing?
Certainly. Planned Parenthood is the, as someone said, the largest abortion chain in the nation. It is Planned Parenthood who brought abortion to the United States. They held a 1955 conference on abortion. Today, they are the largest abortion chain. They admit to doing over 300,000 abortions a year in the United States. That's one out of every four abortions. They're a business. They take in over $1 billion a year. And of that $1 billion, at least $350 million is taxpayer money. In other words, the people who are listening on this phone are paying Planned Parenthood to kill babies, 300,000 plus a year. Planned Parenthood, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, let me just explain quickly their structure. International Planned Parenthood Federation is headquartered in London, England. They have offices in 146 countries around the world. Their largest affiliate, their oldest affiliate, is Planned Parenthood Federation of America. It's headquartered in New York City, and then it operates through some 84 affiliates around the nation that actually operate abortion facilities and other facilities in every state in the union except for North Dakota. So it's a massive organization, takes in $1 billion a year, a lot of that taxpayer money. When we're talking about fighting Planned Parenthood, we're talking about cutting off that access to their money. But the International Planned Parenthood Federation last year released their Declaration on Sexual Rights. What they said is that every person has the right to have sex, even young people, even children have the right to have sex. And if anyone interferes with that, then they're interfering with a basic human right. This is right out of Margaret Sanger's first philosophy. The organization is pushing sex everywhere. They even went so far as to say that if a person with HIV wanted to have sex with another person, they could not be required to tell that person that they had HIV. This is the kind of attitude that's at Planned Parenthood today.
Wow. And that illicit sex, as we know, leads to abortion. And Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion chain, is doing the most in America and taking in 300 plus million tax dollars. Okay, Jim, we've identified the problem. We see this Goliath. Now we've got a bunch of Davids on the phone who are listening, people who are wanting to do something about it. And there is nobody I have ever met who is more effective at training people on how they can effectively fight Planned Parenthood and its radical agenda. You were the one who trained me and got me started in my efforts against Planned Parenthood and led to our community being labeled the most anti-choice place in the nation by Planned Parenthood's president. It was because I followed the instructions that you gave me. What can somebody who's listening right now on this webcast, what are the most effective things they can do to stop Planned Parenthood in their community?
All right. Well, there are basically three things that have to all be happening at the same time. Number one is what we call street activities. There has to be a physical presence outside of Planned Parenthood offices at least once a week for a couple of hours. If you can do it every hour they're open, that's the ultimate, but as many times as you can be out there, but it has to be at least once a week so that you have that physical presence out there, so that everybody in the community knows that Planned Parenthood is, there's something wrong with them, that they're so evil that people are willing to give up their time and stand out in front of them. At the same time you're doing that, you have to fight Planned Parenthood's access to your children. They want to get to your children through their sex education courses, because as we said, Planned Parenthood is in the sex business. That's what they push, sex. And so they go around preaching these sex education programs. They try to get into the schools, into the Girl Scouts, into the 4-H clubs, into the Big Brothers, Big Sisters programs. Any place that young girls are going to be, Planned Parenthood wants to be there, and you need to get them out. And then the third thing you need to do is cut off all local government money going to Planned Parenthood. You know, people get upset about how much money is going from the federal government. Our message to people is this is a local fight. To get Planned Parenthood out of your community, you have to, number one, be in the streets. Number two, you have to get them out of your schools, get keep them away from your children, and then you have to keep them away from your money locally. If you can do that locally, then we can build on that to do it statewide and eventually for the entire country.
Mm. And Jim, I know that at one point Planned Parenthood had a goal of having 2,000 offices in the United States of America, and they never reached that goal. And in fact, the number has declined over the last number of years. And you have been, I think, a key part of that, training people and raising them up all across the country. You have lots of resources, lots of information. I think anybody listening knows, Jim Sedlak knows his stuff about Planned Parenthood. What would be, I guess, a starting point, a great resource for people who want to learn more about Planned Parenthood and want to know what they can do about this organization?
Well, actually, I think if people had only one resource, we actually have a set of CDs that were recorded by myself and a fellow named David Bewright when we did talks in Jacksonville, Florida, and laid out the entire Planned Parenthood agenda. And there are six talks on the Planned Parenthood agenda, and then there are six talks on how to fight Planned Parenthood, and that is an excellent resource for people who just want to learn about it and learn the intimate details of what to do. And so that's one of, if I had to pick just one resource, that's the resource that I would tell them to get a hold of.
Okay. Well, Jim, for people who want to learn more specifically about you, the work of STOP and American Life League, where can they go to learn more information and get more involved in the fight against Planned Parenthood?
Well, they can go to our website, which is simply ALL.org. They will see the information there. They will see the information on our campaign to bring Jesus to Planned Parenthood through Mary. We haven't talked a lot about prayer, but prayer is a very important part of this. And the praying outside of Planned Parenthood and bringing Jesus to Planned Parenthood is very, very important. So if they go to ALL.org and just look for all of the information on Planned Parenthood, and when they see the STOP logo, just click on STOP. They can get it through ALL.org, and they will have a wealth of information at their fingertips.
All right, Jim, thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate your awesome work. Keep up the fight, and I'm sure I'll see you soon, considering we live so close to one another, but keep on doing what you're doing. I know Planned Parenthood is absolutely terrified anytime you walk out the door of your house to go positively impact the world. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, David.
Our next presenter is one that has created a groundswell of enthusiasm across the entire pro-life movement, and that is Lila Rose. Lila is a pro-life activist. She just recently graduated from UCLA, where she was a student activist, and she has dedicated herself to building a culture of life and ending abortion, the theme of this webcast event today. Lila is the founder and president of Live Action, a dynamic, growing pro-life organization I'm sure she'll share a little bit more about. And her undercover investigations have sent shockwaves throughout Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry, and they have gained extensive national media attention. I'm sure she will talk more about that. Lila, how are you today?
Great, David. Thank you.
Well, we are so honored to have you on here. And maybe as a starting point, why don't you give us a little bit of background about Lila and tell us, how did you first get active in pro-life work?
Of course. Well, I come from a big family of eight kids. And when I was a young girl, I found out about abortion by coming across a book in our home called A Handbook on Abortion by Dr. and Mrs. Wilkie, which is basically a pro-life apologetics book. It was written a couple dozen years ago. And I first found out about abortion when I was about 9 years old. And then as I got older in my early teen years, I learned more and more about this great injustice. And my heart was just moved again and again. And by the time I was 14, I had resolved to start up a pro-life group in my community, because there wasn't one, and do something with my friends to end abortion. And from there, it's just been a progression of learning and praying and discovering more ways to educate and inspire other people to join us in this fight.
So it's been a busy few years since you've really poured your heart into this, and you have accomplished a tremendous amount. One of those things that many people may be aware of, and for those who may be on this webcast today who aren't yet familiar with, are your undercover investigations. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those investigations, what you've done, and specifically, since this topic is focused on Planned Parenthood, what have those investigations uncovered about Planned Parenthood?
Of course. Well, Live Action serves as a watchdog organization for the abortion industry and lobby. So in the past 3-4 years, we've actually done a series of undercover investigations across the country to expose illegal, illicit, abusive practices and work at Planned Parenthood, which is the nation's largest abortion chain. So just to run through a few of those investigations, and the reason that we do these projects is we want to hold the abortion industry accountable at every step of the way so that we can continue to push stories out in front of the public and to the media to reveal that in the practice of abortion, the killing of an innocent unborn child, there are many other abuses and injustices that accompany that, that affect the woman, that also affect the woman and her relationship to her family and her well-being. So one of the investigations that we first did is called the Mona Lisa Project. And in this one, we discovered, we did a national undercover hidden camera investigation with a team of young people, myself included. We went to state after state across the country, and we basically were investigating the cover-up of sexual abuse at abortion clinics. Mm. The latest study that was done in 2002 by Mark, who's on this call, discovered that 91% of clinics, over 800 clinics surveyed, covered up the child sexual abuse of minors that went in reporting abusive situations with older men. So what the Mona Lisa Project did with hidden camera, because we wanted to get the actual video footage of this, is we found in 10 different clinics, 11 different release clinics now, so we have videos of these different clinics across the country that show girls as young as 13 years old being victims of men reportedly 31 years old, I mean over twice their age, and Planned Parenthood staff saying in these different clinics in different states across the country, we don't care how old this sexual predator is that impregnated you. We don't want to know his age. We're not going to make the report that is required by law to the police or child protective services to protect you. Instead, these abortionists and these abortion counselors push these young girls to secret abortions, promising that the older sex predator can pay for them and saying that they won't say a word to anyone, they will cover it up, which perpetuates the cycle of abuse that these girls are in. Mm. So these girls are often brought to the clinics by older men, and they're in these cycles of abuse, and the pregnancy is evidence of that abuse when the abortionist, the abortion counselor, encourages and drives the girl further towards the abortion. That sends them back into a cycle of abuse, back into the arms of the sex predator. So that's what we've discovered. The tapes there are pretty shocking. We've created a series of videos that reveal these counselors in state after state. We have 6-7 different states. We have 11 different clinics showing on video the same setup where they cover up the abuse of this underage girl. So that's one of the projects, just to show the total disregard for the well-being of that underage girl, of that child, in an attempt ultimately to secure another abortion, another, say, $400 from a sex predator, not caring about that young girl, that child. So that's the Mona Lisa Project. Very disturbing results there. Mm-hmm. Another project with similarly disturbing results was our racism investigation. In this one, instead of actually physically entering clinics and getting undercover footage, we did a series of phone calls. This was now, I think, 2.5 years ago, and we've been releasing the findings. These phone calls, we had an actor posing as a racist, calling Planned Parenthood Development Department and basically asking to donate to abort a black child, basically making a race-specific abortion donation request. And the Planned Parenthood employees, instead of rejecting this race-specific abortion donation, they were excited to accept it in 6 different development departments across the country. So you had, in these phone recorded phone calls, you hear them saying, oh, we understand to the racist request. Oh, we're excited about receiving it. What's your credit card number? And it just goes to show the total disregard for, of course, the life of that unborn child and the mother. But more than that, the eugenics that is alive and well today, where abortion employees at Planned Parenthood today would see race-specific abortion as a good thing, a positive thing, and they want to accept money for that. So that was the racism investigation. And finally, just briefly to share with you a third project that we're releasing right now, and there are more to come, and there's more on our website. I'll tell you how to access that in a minute. But the project we're working on releasing now is called the Rosa Acuna Project, and it's based around the fact that Planned Parenthood clinics, while they are tax-funded and claim to be a trusted provider of women's health and provide all the information to make an informed choice so that women can know what to do if they get pregnant, they regularly lie to women, give them outrageous medical misinformation, and manipulate them, pressuring them to choose to abort, to have abortions. And with the Rosa Acuna Project documents is we have a series, again, of undercover camera visits to clinics across the country. These were done all in the past year. And we have our actors going in undercover portraying young women who are questioning what to do. And we document Planned Parenthood employees giving them outrageous medical misinformation, telling them that the heartbeat of the unborn child doesn't start till 10 weeks, 18 weeks, till right when the baby is born, telling them that there are no risks to abortion, telling them that they should abort because if they have the baby, they might die, telling them all kinds of things to encourage them to abort and lying about fetal development characteristics along the way. So this is a very powerful investigation because it basically goes right to the heart of the issue, the humanity of the unborn and the danger of abortion, and it shows the blatant lies that are told by abortion providers every day in clinics across the country in these tax-funded abortion clinics. And that is something that you can use as an educational educational project just to show people, to educate them and illustrate the lies that are happening in these abortion clinics.
Well, Lila, I can speak as a witness here that it's one thing to hear pro-lifers accuse Planned Parenthood of many of these things, but when you hear it from the mouths of Planned Parenthood employees, when you hear the audios, the phone calls, when you see these videos, and I've gone through every one of yours that I have come across, and they're very compelling. Because what they do is they aren't documenting isolated incidents, but instead they're showing patterns of behavior, and certainly patterns of despicable behavior, and in some cases, like the cover-up of the sexual predators, patterns of illegal behavior. I'm not the only one who has seen these exposés, these undercover investigations come to light. There's been a lot of repercussions, haven't there, in the social and political and legal fields. What have you seen happen as a result of getting this out there into the public sphere?
As a result of our different projects, we have seen some good consequences, meaning that there has been some justice served. When we do these investigations, we do them with a few things in mind. First of all, legal repercussions, because there are actual state laws that are being violated often with this illicit activity that's going on. So for the sexual abuse cover-up investigation, the Mona Lisa Project, we saw a grand jury trial investigating Planned Parenthood as a result in the state of Indiana, where we released two different videos, and there was heavy pressure on Planned Parenthood there. One employee was suspended, one employee was fired. There was a lot of media coverage around that. The Attorney General was looking into investigating Planned Parenthood. There was scrutiny there. In Alabama, when we released a video there, the State Health Department ended up doing their own investigation and ended up putting the clinic that we investigated on a year-long probation, threatening to close them if they found any other violations. That probation still stands today, and it is likely that with the many violations that I know happen there regularly, that clinic could be shut down. So that's some good step in the right direction. On a political front in Tennessee, when we released a video in Memphis, Tennessee, we lobbied the legislators, the local legislators, the state legislators, to do something about it, saying your state is paying Planned Parenthood upwards of $1.1 million a year. This should stop. They're covering up sex abuse of children. So the legislators voted to defund or redirect funds away from Planned Parenthood to the tune of $1.1 million in Tennessee. Something similar happened in Orange County in California. So these are some examples of legal, political repercussions. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many opportunities for pro-life activists here and for these investigations to uncover more of these abuses and to use them to demand legal and political results.
Well, thank you for your willingness to bring all of this to light and bring justice about as a result of what you're uncovering. The information you are getting out there is sending shockwaves through Planned Parenthood and literally could be some of the straws that will break the back of this abortion giant. And I want to thank you for your courage. And I know you well enough to know this is just the beginning. You have a lot more to do. I also hope, though, that everybody listening understands through your example the power, the impact that one person can have. You have literally changed laws, led to defunding of Planned Parenthood, led to abortion workers being fired, all of this because you had the willingness to step up and say, yes, I will do my part. So if somebody listening right now is saying, okay, Lila, I want to see these videos, I want to hear these recordings, I want to access this information, I want to learn more about your work, and I want to use that information to educate myself and all the other people in my community so we can save lives right where we live, so we can bring down this abortion giant of Planned Parenthood, where can they go to get more information?
The place to go to educate yourself about Planned Parenthood, to see these videos, to pass them on to friends, is primarily our website, which is liveaction.org, live, L-I-V-E, action.org. We have a Facebook fan page. On Facebook, you can join us there. We have a Twitter and MySpace. We're all connected on different social networking. And then, of course, it all comes together at our website, liveaction.org. But after you watch these videos yourself and you become your own expert on the abortion industry and you have an understanding of the different abuses, corruptions that take place daily in these clinics across the country, then you can share that with friends that are maybe pro-life but not active, or maybe they're not sure if they're pro-life or pro-abortion. They don't know what to think. And you can begin to use this evidence, which is basically taking them into the clinic where they literally see what's happening in the clinic on a camera feed. You can begin to talk with them about the horror of abortion, coming at it from a more familiar angle, which is what a woman experiences, what many women experience every day in our country when they enter these clinics. So I encourage you to become an expert, watch these videos, learn more on our website, liveaction.org, and then share it with friends, family, share it in educational presentations with church, with school. These are meant to be educational tools for your youth. They're totally free and available to you. Please use them and pass them on. We want every American to be 100% educated about the evils and the dangers of the abortion industry today.
Well, Lila, thank you so very much. I appreciate your taking the time to share with us on this webcast event. And when I think about all that has been accomplished during the first two decades of your life, I can't wait to see what is going to happen over the next few decades. And I just want to thank you. You have set a new bar. You've raised it high for the pro-life movement. And I hope that every young person and person who may be a few years older than young is inspired and recognizes that they too can make a difference in educating themselves, educating others about the danger and harm of Planned Parenthood, specifically the abortion industry generally, utilizing your tools, going to liveaction.org and getting this information and sharing it with others. And together we will keep pressing on as we work to end abortion. Lila, thanks so much. Appreciate your sharing today.
Thank you, David. God bless you.
Well, our next presenter is another Texan. On the first three panels of this Ending Abortion webcast event, we have had Texans on here, and I have a little bias because I got my start in the pro-life movement in Texas, even though I now live in Virginia. I occasionally get to go back to what some refer to there as the promised land. Our next presenter is from Denton, Texas. His name is Mark Crutcher. Many of you know him very well. Mark is the founder and president of Life Dynamics, a group that has done trailblazing research into the abortion industry, specifically focusing a lot of their attention on Planned Parenthood. They've engaged in many bold undercover operations, which Lila referenced during her session. And they also have produced a shocking documentary that we're going to be talking about during this panel. Mark, how are you doing today?
Just fine, sir. How are you?
I am blessed. I appreciate you taking the time to be on here. And just to give everybody a little bit of background on you, how did you get started in all this pro-life work, and what is your organization, Life Dynamics, really all about?
Well, I had been involved in pro-life work as what I call a weekend warrior for many, many years. I had a very successful career in as a marketing consultant and in the auto industry. And I often say that you don't choose the pro-life movement, it chooses you. And that's kind of what happened with me. I just kind of evolved into getting more and more active in it. And I was started a thing called the Life Activist Seminars back in the early 80s, mid-80s, training pro-life activists how to articulate the pro-life position. And very shortly, I found myself in a situation where I had more seminar requests than I could do. And so I began to replace my business efforts slowly with doing life activist seminars, and I didn't know how we would survive. And I think a lot of people that enter the pro-life movement have that feeling. You know, how will we financially survive when you go from a successful career into something like this? But somehow or another, God works it out. I still can't look back on it now and tell you how we did it, but He did it nonetheless. Then I started in 1992, Life Dynamics. I saw that in my view, there were a lot of holes in the pro-life effort. There were a lot of things that needed to be done that weren't being done. So I started Life Dynamics with the idea that we would do things that other groups didn't do. If American Life League was doing something, I'd say, okay, fine, let them do it. They're the experts in that field, and they're doing a good job, so we'll just let them go with that. Or whoever it might be, whatever pro-life organization it might be, just let them do those things. I wasn't going to reinvent the wheel. So I started Life Dynamics in the spare bedroom of my house in 1992, as an organization to kind of what plug what I saw as holes in the pro-life effort, one of those being undercover work, which we've done a tremendous amount of and are doing some more now. But also we do litigation research and litigation support for attorneys who sue on behalf of women who've been killed, injured, or sexually assaulted. And we do a lot of educational things. We started Life Talk in 1999, which is we're still doing as the nation's only national pro-life television talk show. And then recently, as you mentioned, we have produced other videos over the years, but we just produced MAFA 21, which is a video that looks at the eugenics history of the abortion license in America.
Well, Mark, let's dive into that, because for those few people in the pro-life movement who have not yet seen MAFA 21, why don't you tell us a little bit about the shocking things that that film reveals, because it is absolutely explosive.
Well, I had long known, and other people in the pro-life movement have long known, that the real motivation behind the legalization of abortion was not women's rights or reproductive freedom or choice or any of that other nonsense that you hear that are basically just marketing slogans. That's how they sell abortion to the American people. That the real motivation for the legalization of abortion was genocide, eugenics. Primarily black genocide. And the interesting thing is, right after we released MAFA 21, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is without argument the most radically pro-abortion person that's ever been on the Supreme Court, even more so than Blackmun, who wrote Roe versus Wade decision, she came out and made a statement that reaffirmed everything that we were arguing. And I'll read that statement. She said, "Frankly, I had thought at the time Roe was decided there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of," unquote. That was last July that she made that statement, right after we released MAFA 21. We've now shot a second edition of MAFA 21 and got that quote into it. But the reality is that the legalization of abortion is a continuation of the eugenics effort that began in this country right at the end of the slavery. Through a man named Francis Galton, who was the first cousin of Charles Darwin. And they began what is today the eugenics movement, or what became the eugenics movement. And abortion, we connect the dots from the end of slavery up to today and show how abortion was just a continuation of that philosophy, that eugenics philosophy. And the interesting thing is, when we started looking at this, we studied it for over 3 years. We did an enormous amount of research for over 3 years. We found out that the first people who actually saw this were not the pro-life groups. And we think of all the, and when we think of the anti-abortion groups, we think about, you know, National Right to Life, American Life League, and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and you just go down the line, you know, American United for Life in Chicago. And you think of them as being the pioneers in the opposition to abortion. What you find out, the real first pioneer, the pioneers in opposition to abortion in America were the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam, surprisingly. These radical 60s civil rights groups clearly saw that the legalization of abortion was being touted at that time as a continuation of the eugenics policy meant to wipe out African American people. And so we started researching this and just found some, I think if you've, I'm sure you've seen the DVD, it, some astonishing things, things that even astonish me, and I've been at this over 30 years. And the point of all this is, the important issue here, is that we have to make the American people understand what the real motivation behind the legalization of abortion was, because as long as they believe that it was done to further the cause of women in this country, that it's a part of choice and reproductive freedom, as long as they believe that, they're going to be willing to tolerate it. But if we can show them that the real motivation here and the real legitimate motivation behind the legalization of abortion was black genocide and eugenics, that changes the colors everything they think about abortion. It changes every attitude that they have about it, and we have seen some real world examples of this since MAFA 21 came out, and it's been in over 30 years I've been involved in the pro-life movement. This has been the most rewarding and the most successful thing that I've ever seen, as far as taking people that are either on the fence or sometimes committed pro-aborts and making them understand what the real motivation here is and turning them into pro-lifers. We've got a radio talk show host right now in North Carolina. This is just a kind of a breaking story here over the last couple of weeks, who is often called the Rush Limbaugh of North Carolina. His name is Jimmy Lewis. And he's called that because he's the most successful talk show host in the state that's not a national figure, that's a statewide figure. And he's a hardcore pro-abort, a very liberal, black, African-American man. Saw my Alpha 21 one night, watched it two more times that night, went on the air the next day, apologized to his listeners, for having pushed abortion all these years, and said that he was going to be an activist now working against abortion. He did several more shows on it, and was a couple of weeks ago fired. He was the number one rated host on that network, and yet they fired him. But he was also when he changed his mind, he became the only pro-lifer on that network.
Wow.
So we're seeing things like this all over the country, and it has been extremely encouraging for us to be able to get into venues with this message that would have been totally closed off to us a year ago.
Right. And Mark, one of the things that I think is so compelling about this is it connects a lot of the dots between the eugenics movement and, as Jim Sedlak referenced just a little earlier during this session, and Margaret Sanger, the founder of what is today Planned Parenthood, and helps people to see that this targeted genocide, this eugenic philosophy that Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood with, is still alive and well in Planned Parenthood today. They're still targeting the minorities, still putting abortion centers in minority communities. We have just a couple of minutes left here before we move to our next presenter, but what would you say is a way that a person listening could get Ma'afa 21 and use this as a tool to educate and energize people in their community, particularly mobilizing the African-American population in their community?
Yeah, well, you can order Ma'afa 21 off of either our website, ProLifeAmerica.com, or you can go directly to the Ma'afa 21 website, and you see a trailer for it there. You can go on YouTube. It's everywhere. At last count, it was on over 340,000 websites, as
wow,
we could tell. So it's out there everywhere. But if you go to Ma'afa, MAAFA21.com, you can order a copy there or multiple copies. Over 40% of our sales now are people ordering 10 or more copies. So the message is getting out there, and people are having showings. We just had a black church in Maryland have a showing some time ago. My understanding is there were 1,100 people at that showing.
Wow.
And so people are having showings at their churches. They're renting theaters, in community halls. We had a lady rent a show at a library. I think this was in Iowa not long ago, and they were literally bringing people in off the streets to watch it at this public library. So we've got to get this message out there, because we're being deceived a little bit if we think these polls showing all these people pro-life versus pro-choice. We're being deceived a little bit by those polls, because I can assure you that a significant number of the people that are saying that they're pro-life in those polls are people who, if you cornered them on it, would say, oh yeah, I'm pro-life, I'd never have an abortion, and I'd certainly try to discourage people from having one, so that's why I answered it pro-life, I'm pro-life. Now, I don't support the illegalization of abortion. I don't think we should make it illegal. Well, that person's not pro-life. And a lot of those people take that position, and I think that is by far the majority opinion in this country. A lot of people take that position because they don't want to see something that was done to protect women's rights removed from our culture. And if we can show them that, hey, this wasn't done to protect women's rights, this was done as a eugenics effort and a black genocide effort, then their whole attitude changes on that.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, thank you so much, and I hope everybody who has not yet seen Ma'afa 21 goes to either ma'afa21.com, M-A-A-F-A-21.com, or prolifeamerica.com. I hope you not only get a copy to watch yourself, but get at least 10 other copies, as Mark suggested, distribute them to other people, and literally this is a tool that can change hearts and minds and get people to go from being passively pro-life to actively pro-life. So, Mark, thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate your work and look forward to seeing you somewhere somewhere down the road as we continue to press on in fighting the good fight.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. And our final presenter for today is Abby Johnson during this panel on Planned Parenthood's abortion empire. Abby sent shockwaves throughout our nation just recently, and I'll let her tell a little bit of the story. But Abby was the former director of the Planned Parenthood abortion facility in Bryan, College Station, Texas. That's the town I used to live in, and that is actually the community where 40 Days for Life first began. Abby worked at the abortion facility outside of which the first ever 40 Days for Life prayer vigil was held. Abby was the Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year in 2008 and shocked the entire world, and I have to be honest, shocked me when last year in the midst of the fall 40 Days for Life campaign, Abby went through a conversion and has now become a very prolific pro-life activist. So, Abby, welcome. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. Hey, it shocked me too.
Wasn't something you were planning on. Well, Abby, give us a quick bit of background. Tell us how you got involved with Planned Parenthood and what you did with them.
I got started with Planned Parenthood as a volunteer. A lot of their employees start out as volunteers and just kind of started moving up the ladder. Became a campus intern with them when I graduated college. Got on their payroll and just started moving up, started learning more about the organization, learning about their mission. I originally got involved with them because I really believed that they were about pregnancy prevention and preventing the need for abortion, and I thought that sounded good to me. Growing up in a pro-life home, I definitely wanted to decrease the need for abortion, and so started to become involved in NAF, which is the National Abortion Federation, and also CAPS, which is kind of a secretive group. Well, it used to be secret until I was talking. Now I'm talking about it all the time. But CAPS is the Consortium of Abortion Providers. It's a kind of a subgroup of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. CAPS, their main goal is to turn every family planning Planned Parenthood provider into an abortion Planned Parenthood provider. Mm. And, you know, their goal is to do that within, you know, I'd say probably the next 10 years. And the way they do that is by introducing medication abortion into these family planning Planned Parenthood clinics.
Okay, so Abby, a year ago, you were the director of a Planned Parenthood facility. Fast forward to today, you're on an Ending Abortion webcast mega event with 10,000 attendees. What happened to bring about that conversion?
Well, a couple of things happened. I started to see that, you know, and maybe it was that the mission was changing, or maybe it was just that my eyes were kind of being opened to the truth about Planned Parenthood. I think it may have been the latter. But I started to see that maybe what I believed and the reason that I got into it, you know, I thought it was about prevention. That was not really what Planned Parenthood's goal was. I remember having a budget meeting with my supervisor and her telling me that my priority needed to be to get more abortions in the door. And that concerned me because I always thought that our goal was to stop abortion and to help women make responsible choices so they wouldn't be in a position where they would need an abortion. And so that was really shocking to me. And I think, you know, my dedication to this organization I'd followed for 8 years really began to waver. And then ultimately in September, I saw an ultrasound-guided abortion, something I'd never seen before because they're very rarely done. I saw an ultrasound-guided abortion procedure and saw a 13-week-old child in the womb fight for its life and ultimately lose that battle.
So that was a major turning point for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you have this experience where you see that. What made you then say, okay, I'm not going to just leave Planned Parenthood, but I'm actually going to proactively join the pro-life movement?
Well, you know, it wasn't instantly. I mean, it's not like I saw the abortion take place and then I walked right outside to the sidewalk counselors and then, you know, said that's it and threw my gate opener, my badge in the parking lot and left, you know, and put on a 40 Days for Life t-shirt or anything. It took a little while. You know, even when I left Planned Parenthood, even when I resigned, I went quietly. I didn't want to make a big scene. I didn't want to make big noise or anything like that. But Planned Parenthood, when they found out that I had left and had now had doubts about abortion and had, you know, become pro-life, they actually took me to court. and, you know, was basically trying to silence my freedom of speech. They did not want me to speak out against abortion, and they didn't want me to tell the truth about Planned Parenthood because I knew a lot. I was very involved in the National Planned Parenthood agenda, the National Abortion Federation agenda, knew a lot of their little dirty secrets, and they didn't want those to get out in public. And so they were very concerned, but, you know, fortunately, you can't silence someone's freedom of speech, and so that was immediately thrown out. And when they did take me to court, they also sent out a press release, and that press release made it to the national news, I think, in about 5 minutes, and it became a big news story. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm here.
Well, and Abby, I applaud you for really putting your convictions and your conversion into action and doing something about it. I remember when you first had this conversion experience, when you left Planned Parenthood, I was aware of this, and I was quite surprised when right before the end of that fall 40 Days for Life campaign that was going on outside of your former workplace, I get a text message from one of the prayer volunteers who's standing vigil out there, and they nervously said, Abby, the former Planned Parenthood director, is out here praying with us outside of her former workplace. And then you personally texted me at the beginning of this past spring, 40 Days for Life, and said that you were sidewalk counseling outside of your former workplace, and y'all had just seen a pair of twins that had been saved from abortion. So I just was so inspired by that. We've got just about two more minutes before we wrap up this session, but from your background on the inside of Planned Parenthood, what can somebody who's listening do to be most effective at countering Planned Parenthood's agenda in their community?
Well, I think that one of the most important things is holding vigil outside of Planned Parenthood, whether it is an abortion-providing center or whether it is not. You know, a lot of people will go into Planned Parenthood if they're a family planning center only and say, well, but this Planned Parenthood doesn't do abortions. It doesn't matter. Planned Parenthood is synonymous with providing abortions, and if they are supporting that Planned Parenthood, then they are supporting abortion. And the community needs to know that there is potentially an abortion center in their community. I mean, it's just like I said with the CAPS program. You never know when that center is going to be providing medication abortion, and that is the goal of CAPS. That is the goal of Planned Parenthood, and they can sneak it right under the community's nose in no time. And so we have to be very active, and you won't know if they're doing it if you're not out there watching and seeing what's happening with your own eyes. And, you know, I tell people, I wouldn't be here today on this side of life if there hadn't been prayer warriors and sidewalk counselors out there every day talking to me, witnessing to me, and praying for me as I was going in and out of that clinic. That prayer presence and that sidewalk counseling is so incredibly important, and just making the community aware of what is going on in right under their noses.
Yeah. Abby, where can people learn more about you and your work, or if they want to have you come in and speak and share your testimony somewhere, where can they learn about you?
They can go to my website. It's abbyjohnson.org. I'm also on Facebook. I have a public page there. And, you know, I always encourage people, you know, if they want to learn more about how they can counter Planned Parenthood, to go to Planned Parenthood's website and find out, you know, what they're saying. We need to, you know, they're very knowledgeable about us, and so we need to be equally as knowledgeable about them.
Mm. Well, Abby, thank you so much. It is such a blessing to be able to work side by side with you now in the cause for life, and I just thank you for your courage to come to the right side and to now share your story to inspire hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. So thank you. God bless you. We have covered a lot of ground during this panel on Planned Parenthood's abortion empire during this Ending Abortion webcast mega event. I would like to thank all the speakers before Sean Carney will give us a quick summary of what we've accomplished during this hour panel. I want to thank Jim Sedlak, Lila Rose, Mark Crutcher, Abby Johnson. Wow, we have covered a lot of ground. There's certainly a lot to know about Planned Parenthood. We've touched on it. Hopefully everybody will take advantage of the resources that each of the presenters talked about. Sean, why don't you give us a quick recap of what we've accomplished during this time?
Well, Jim Sedlak came on and he talked about the principles that Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood upon back in October of 1916. And those principles were free sex, small families, birth control that included abortion, and eugenics. And then we had Lila Rose on, who did a number of undercover projects where she unveiled some of the illegal activities going on in Planned Parenthood, especially regarding sexual predators, and even accepting a donation in order to abort a black baby that that the Planned Parenthood clinic actually received. Mark Crutcher talked about MAFA 21, which everyone should see. Absolutely amazing, and that is changing hearts and minds, unveiling the eugenics movement built in to Planned Parenthood and the abortion movement. And also, we just had Abby Johnson, the former director of the Planned Parenthood in Bryan, Texas, just located next to my office, when she left the abortion industry after seeing a live abortion on an ultrasound machine. And her testament to me personally and to everybody who hears her shows that even any heart, no matter how dedicated they are to abortion, no matter how dedicated they are to Planned Parenthood, can be changed when presented the truth in love.
All right, Sean, thank you very much. And for those who have been a part of this, as your first session of this Ending Abortion webcast event, this event has been sponsored and organized by 40 Days for Life. To learn more about the organization that I'm blessed to work with, you can visit www.40daysforlife.com, and that's the number 40, 40, daysforlife.com. The event was co-organized by Students for Life of America. Kristen Hawkins, their executive director, has worked tirelessly to put this together. Their website, studentsforlife.org. And many of the speakers were arranged to get onto this event today through Ambassador Speakers Bureau, our good friend Gloria. You can book a pro-life speaker for your next event at ambassadorspeakers.com. So that's the end of Planned Parenthood's Abortion Empire, the third of our 10 sessions of this Ending Abortion webcast event. The next topic will focus on the first step of the solution to the problems we've identified in the first three panels, the case for life, the abortion crisis, and Planned Parenthood. The next panel, panel four, will focus on the power of prayer and transition into the solutions. To join that session, all you need to do is go to endingabortion.com/event, endingabortion.com/event. You can scroll down and listen to that. My last thought, to whom much is given, much is expected. If you've been blessed by this session, by this event today, it's been freely given to you. Now go freely give it to others. Tell friends, family, fellow believers to go to endingabortion.com to access the recordings. So that is the end of Planned Parenthood's Abortion Empire. I hope many of you will join us in just a couple of minutes here on the next panel, The Power of Prayer. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great rest of the day.